GNC551. It's Friday, February 12th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, from a freshly rearranged studio. I'm alive. I'm ready. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. We want to make sure you get signed up for this show so you get the show at each and every time automatically downloaded via either your favorite podcatcher, via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, whatever it may be. You can definitely pick the show up by subscribing, and it's real easy to do so. Second column of the website, you'll see a bunch of icons there, iTunes, Zoom, RSS feeds, whatever it takes, get subscribed to the show. And that way you'll get it delivered to you fresh every Tuesday and Friday morning. Of course, I record the show Monday and Thursday night, Honolulu Standard Time, and then it's available for download Tuesday and Friday mornings, like clockwork. And we encourage you, of course, to get subscribed. And, of course, make sure you get subscribed to our newsletter as well. The newsletter contains all the content that I talk about during the show, including email that has come from listeners of the show and, of course, all the regular stuff that I cover. Well, it's kind of a weird situation here in the studio tonight because as you guys were on Ustream last time saw, there had been a shift in furniture while I was in Chicago. Well, I decided instead of shifting it back to completely shift the studio 90 degrees. So everything is basically moved to the left. And so now what was normally behind me is right here. What was normally to the right of me is behind me, and that makes up for a totally new view, and I'm still getting the cameras dialed in. My lovely wife, I had gotten everything arranged, and I'd gotten everything set up, and she called me today when I was out. She says, hey, I want to move one more piece of furniture while you're out. I want to put one piece back against the sliding glass door. And I said, oh, yeah, sure, great. And I had spent 2 hours last night getting the studio dialed in, making sure the lights were right, camera angles were good. And I got home, and she moved just a little bit more than one piece against the wall. So it kind of caused me to go into another mild panic this evening while I was getting things arranged. But, hey, it's just one of those things that's going to come together over a few shows. And it is what it is, and love to hear guys' feedback on if they're watching on Ustream. Of course, those of you that are listening to the audio portion of the show, you guys care less, right? Because you're just hearing me, not seeing me. So let's go ahead and get into what else on my agenda here. Of course, we're going to be giving an iPad away today, and I have a winner already picked out. It's loaded in one of my browser tabs, and the way I've done this is essentially what I've been doing is a lot of copy and pasting over the past couple of weeks while we've been running this and staying ahead of the Twitter cache and watching all of the entries that come into Twitter. And so really, I ended up with this huge stack of data of everyone that had just basically retweeted. And I did some parsing, some automatic parsing of that data and basically came up with a total number. I ran it through a randomizer, counted down the list to the number the randomizer picked, and that was the winner. So we'll give that away here in a few moments. And I want to thank all of you that participated in that. And, of course, new followers to the show. I want to thank you guys for following the show. And, of course, those of you on Twitter that participated that are not listening, we hope you listen. That's kind of silly, isn't it? So anyway, we'll give that iPad away here in a few minutes. But I do want to talk just a little bit about the show schedule. The show schedule is I'm going to be doing a show early on Tuesday. Monday. The reason is Monday night I need to fly out. I'm headed out to Texas for a very quick down and back. The Thursday night show will be recorded Central Standard Time, probably around 8 p.m. Central Standard Time from Texas. And then I'll be back in Honolulu Friday. And then we're going to have a tech podcast roundtable on Saturday where we've got Nuance is coming in. It's going to be one of the guests. So I hope that you'll schedule some time to join us at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific on Saturday for our tech podcast roundtable for the month of February. Should be a good one. So early show on Monday for his recording-wise, and it'll be released before I get on an airplane. And then one show from the road, and then we'll be back. I'll be back in the studio as regularly scheduled. So it just gives you an idea what's going to happen here for the show schedule over the next week or so. Was a little bit down in the dumps yesterday. It did not feel good whatsoever. My son was had the same bug or whatever. Him and I were kind of down and out together. He's not recovered as fast as I had, so my wife has been tending to him quite a bit today. But I'm back in action, and that kind of is one of the reasons why, too, that things didn't get arranged here as quick as possible. Hey, want to make sure everyone's paying attention to the blip in YouTube videos and special media feeds. As you guys saw on Tuesday, I dropped in about 10 more interviews from the Long Over Consumer Electronics Show, and I've still got about 60 videos to push up, and I'm hoping over the weekend to get the last mass push of content up there. I know Jeffrey and Andy are ahead of me. Hey, I just haven't had as many CPU cycles to put towards it, but I hope you guys have enjoyed the content and we'll continue to shovel it out for you. I want to thank, I've gotten a couple more people that have signed up to my salary replacement plan. Thank you for that. Thank you for your contribution. That is greatly, your monthly contribution is greatly appreciated. And of course, you can find info for that over at geeknewscentral.com. So let's take care of a little sponsor business here, and then we'll give away a couple of iPads, all right? Or a iPad, not two, just one. Hey, if you're looking for a domain name, GoDaddy.com is the place to go. Hey, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting account, grid hosting, again, and of course, domain names along with a variety of other products and services. Their domain auctions are pretty cool as well. When you get over to GoDaddy and you're picking up a product, don't forget your geek here at geeknewscentral.com. Really, GoDaddy is the company that helps me keep the lights on and keep doing what we do here as one of the sponsors of the show. So share my codes so that when you get to that checkout counter, you can use the promo code Todd to save 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. That's a great discount. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Of course, ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49 every day of the week, whether they are renewals or brand new domains. So don't forget me over at GoDaddy when you get to that checkout counter. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the show. Of course, this week has been, Blizzard Central out on the East Coast. And it's been kind of interesting doing business because I had a couple of calls to folks in Washington, D.C., and really I had a kind of a captive audience because I was calling them on their cell. And whenever you can call somebody on their cell, then it just, and they're locked up in their house and nothing else going on. It really made for an easy way to do business. And not only that, we were able to have some go-to-meeting sessions to actually work through some contracts and stuff, which it worked out pretty handy. And of course, with all this heavy weather, it makes getting meetings close to impossible. Skip the flight. Of course, you didn't have no choice. Many of you got bumped from your flights. Skip the drive. You didn't go anywhere because there was a blizzard going on. And instead, use GoToMeeting to host an online meeting. Instead, everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com. Now they can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, and product demos right from your computer. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. Now, there's one thing I forgot to turn on before the show, and what I want to do is I want to be able to show our winner tonight. So let me go ahead and turn on my screen sharing application. That's going to make everything blink here. And I need to reach over and actually turn this on the TriCaster. So I do that real quick here by picking input select and external. And I'm going to put GNCPC. Okay, that's up. All right, so we're good to share that. So let me go ahead here and announce who we're giving an iPad to. Of course, the criteria was very, very simple. All you had to do was basically announce on your Twitter stream that you were giving away, that I was giving away an iPad. Use the hashtag GNC iPad. And then all you had to do was to, let's see, let me bring this guy's account up. All you had, let me bring it over here, paste and go. We'll wait for that to get loaded. And really, you know, just announce it to the world and follow me. And for doing that, tonight, the winner of the iPad goes to Big_Odie, and his name's Chad Odell. He lives in Houston, Texas. And while Chad doesn't have a lot of unnecessary followers or people following him, he is following me. And you can see that he had tweeted a couple of times about the iPad giveaway in his actual Twitter stream. So congratulations to Chad Odell. He's our winner. And Chad, all you got to do is basically direct tweet me, and I'll be direct tweeting you back and letting you know that you won, and hooking you up with a new Apple iPad. Use it wisely, my friend. Have fun with it. I'm not even going to have one. You will have one before I do. So congratulations to Chad Odell from Houston, Texas, for winning the iPad. And so anyway. Very cool on that. Now, let's see. What's everyone saying in the chat? Oh, I'm sure everyone's... Oh, not too many comments. So, anyway, cool. Anyway, congratulations to Chad. All right, let me go ahead here and load up the regular agenda for tonight so we can get into that. And, you know, with all these changes here in the office, it has been... it's been a bit... I should actually have taken that down. I want to show you guys something here before we get into it. My sister's husband, who is still in the Navy, he is out right now. They just deployed, and they're heading... did I get it? Didn't. Hang on. Let me do this again. He is deploying, and I don't know where they're going beyond Haiti, but I know that they have been in Haiti over the past couple of weeks providing support for this. And my sister sent me this link today, and it's over on a website called HamptonRoads.com /blogs/ Hampton Tac Roads Tac Haiti. And it basically is highlighting the effort of U.S. Navy personnel in Haiti and the relief effort there. And it's just a blog that walks through different things that are going on with the different crews there. I know that my brother-in-law is part of a helicopter squadron, and he's been doing... they've been airlifting people to the comfort. I don't know if this is a particular helicopter squadron he's involved in, but they've been, you know, taking people to get medical care and so forth and doing other support. But, you know, here we got all these, you know, got storms going on in the course on the East Coast, but yet the rescue efforts continue in Haiti. I don't want people to forget about that and the continued effort over there, but I thought I would just share that with you before I got into the regular content tonight. So I have that link up in the show notes if you want to check that out. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into the regular stuff here that I've got. Today, Apple has announced that they, even though Macworld has just started and Apple's not there, Apple's still in the news. Apple has offered a fix for audio-related Mac Pro performance issues. So what they've done is they released a kernel extension to address unusual heat and performance issues related to audio tasks on some Mac Pros. So this is designed to address the CPU utilization issues caused by tasks such as listening to tracks in iTunes or using a FireWire or USB-based audio interface. So I have this link up in the show notes. Those of you that have Mac Pros that are affected by this, you'll definitely won't be getting this as an automatic update from the folks at Apple. And I found this information over on ArsTechnica.com. This morning was the first time I got a chance to play with Buzz, and I don't know how many of you have checked your Gmail accounts. I checked mine this morning, and I was flipping to that. Let me hang on. The actual Let's see here. Did I do that right? Hello. You know, don't you love it when things just go awry completely? I know what's going on. Let's do that. All right. I've got the keyboard too close to it. I was playing around with Buzz on Gmail this morning. It started a thread, and I was basically had a number of people that joined the thread. This isn't the particular thread. But so far, I think the thing that I am most underwhelmed over on Buzz is that I have to be logged into Gmail to do an active participation in a conversation. Now, it sends me an email every time I do an update or after so many updates to it. So, I got four or five of those throughout the day that were, in line with the conversation we were having on Buzz. But I guess from my perspective, it's going to take a little bit to get used to because I download all my email, even from Gmail, into Thunderbird, and I still work on a regular desktop application, and I don't use the online service very much at all, specifically because I keep everything real organized very neatly in different folders and so forth on Thunderbird. I know you can do that in Gmail itself, but I think I've got like now well over 100 separate folders where stuff from a campaign or notes from a podcaster or a business contact or whatever it may be gets dropped into a specific folder in Thunderbird. And so it really is not conducive to using Gmail online. And I've just never used the web interface. And I know some people have completely divorced themselves from, a Outlook application or from Thunderbird and only use an online source. So I think for those that are actually on Gmail all day and have it as a browser tab, Buzz might be something that they'd use on a regular basis. I actually saw where you could actually import your Twitters as well, your tweets. So, there are some features that are kind of interesting, but it's just another thing that I'm going to have to follow, follow stuff on Facebook, follow stuff on Twitter, follow the regular email. And then a variety of other friend feed and a variety of other, sites that I have to follow for messaging from either audience members or people that are wanting to do business with me and so forth. So I'm kind of excited to hear all of your opinions on Buzz. And if you get a chance and you would like to give me some feedback, you can do that, of course, on any topic of the show at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1 619 342-7365. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to just, kind of play with it and let it grow on me over time and see if that's actually going to work out for me. The folks over at Microsoft have announced that they are going to be introducing a new voluntary Windows 7 anti-piracy update. It's going to essentially call home to mama on a more regular basis. And it's not only going to do that, it's going to help protect your computer from 70 known and potentially dangerous activation exploits that attempt to bypass or compromise the Windows activation technology and will determine whether the copy of Windows 7 is installed on a PC is genuine. Now, you already, when you install Windows, you have to register it and go through the Windows activation process. You have to go through and make sure that, they do a lot of checking to make sure you're not using a hacked copy. So, beyond this application checking for 70 potential and dangerous activation exploits, is that double wording for, all right, we're going to look at 70 different things that you could be using to activate your Windows 7 license illegally? Because I don't really understand the purpose of this and why they're, obviously they're going to be getting more aggressive with this. And I don't know if this is going to be forced upon us or not, or if it's optional. So, this ties into a lawsuit over Windows Genuine Advantage component in Windows XP that this lawsuit had been dismissed. So Microsoft at this point is, I guess, going to make this optional. I'm reading a little further down in the article. But if you're already activated, why do you need this extra step? I don't know. I don't understand this completely. I think it's just doublespeak for saying, hey, we're going to, you know, hey, go ahead. We volunteer to download this, and then we're going to look for 70 different ways for you to have cheated to have activated Windows. That's the only thing I can come to. All right, there's an interesting write-up talking about, in title of it's Teaching Computers How to Forget. And really, in a word, computers really don't think. They do have storage, lots of stuff in our computers today we would never want to allow to get online. We know that cheap storage has really made us lazy, and we probably save everything. So, you know, there's a lot of data that's on your hard drives or external hard drives where you've got backed up, where there's, you know, information for, you know, for the, you know, to be found or to be revisited at a later date. I know that I have recently, I was trying to find some information out about something that I did a couple of years ago. And I went back and I was searching, and I finally found it actually in an email from 2004. And I had originally thought that it was only like 2008 or 2007 when I had actually done this, but it was actually back in 2004. So I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. I found information from 6 years ago on my computer. And now I find myself going to Gmail and I'm looking for, you know, information. That's the fastest way to find email threads. But there's this whole, I guess, psychology now based around people not having to remember as much because we've all got it stored on our computer. And psychologists seem to think that we're losing memory skills, whereas in the past, you were forced to remember something because if you didn't remember it, there was no way to recall it unless it was written down on a piece of paper or something, and that's not practical for everything. So psychologists saying is now because we have this instant recall of information a long ways back that we are going to, our brains are really going to get kind of adjusted to not having to remember as much and maybe just a tidbit and then enough to tip us to go look for something. So it makes me think that as we all grow older and as this thing called the internet and as this these computers that we use get more advanced, that the data that we have been saving probably becomes more valuable over time just because maybe we don't actually remember it anymore in our actual real brains. And the brains that we carry on our hips as far as computers and mobile phones and our laptops that we carry will be our true digital brain at some point. So keep that data backed up, folks, because, 20 years from now, you may want to, you know, remember a conversation you had with somebody, and the only way you're going to get to it is through your PC. Now, I don't know if that would be, you know, the right type of scenario to play back for you. But definitely gives us pause to be able to go back and look at videos and look at, I look at some of my early video stuff and I just cringe. And I'm sure I'll, another 10 years from now, I'll probably even cringe even more about what's being done today. So we don't want our computers to forget. We want them to continue to remember. There's a study out, and this is over on ehomeupgrade.com. And let me bring this up for you guys on Ustream. The new study is basically saying that, less than 8% of United States households would consider canceling pay television in favor of online video. And I find this a pretty remarkable number, that only 8% of U.S. households would consider canceling pay TV service in lieu of just strictly online video. So this is, you know, obviously good news for the cable companies. But I think even at 8%, that's a pretty significant number, considering that probably 5 years ago, the majority of us would not even ever considered, you know, dropping a pay TV service for online viewing. I think with set-top boxes like the Roku, what's coming out from Boxy and so forth, that number could rapidly change as time goes on. So anyway, pretty good data. And then I'll have the link up for the full review of the article. You can check it out and basically get the full details of the survey. But I don't think the cable folks have to worry about cannibalization of users right now. but announcement that Google made yesterday, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes, may just help cause people to think a little differently about their TV service. All right, Microsoft is looking into reports of a blue screen of death issues resulting in the last patch Tuesday. Apparently, some users sadly were affected by one of the 27 patches going wrong. And when they rebooted their computer after installing those 27 patches, they got the world famous Microsoft blue screen of death. Microsoft has published an article related to this on their tech site to help people basically recover from it. And so if you know anyone that's had this issue, Microsoft has posted a workaround. It's the title of it, CVE Tech 2010 Tech 0232. Have a link up to the full article of it here. But that would just suck. It really would. It would ruin your whole day. You know, one of those situations where you patch your machine to, you know, protect it from vulnerabilities, and all of a sudden, boom, blue screen of death. You know, that's, if you're having a bad day, that's one of those things that makes you go out and buy a Mac or shoot your laptop. You know, who knows? You know, if people these days are stressed out and you have this happen, you know, if that had happened to me this week was, my stressometer was about here with everything going on, not feeling good. And I just can't imagine. I really can't. You know, you wake up, you come to your computer, you got your coffee. You know, you're ready to check your email. You know that the computer's been updated at 2 o'clock in the morning, and bam, blue screen of death. You'd be like, oh, throw your coffee at your computer screen. So did that happen to you? If you do, I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your reaction. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, Yahoo, boy, continued downward slide. Study. Yahoo search slides while Bing is continued to gain market share. While it's not huge, Yahoo's share of U.S. search queries dropped to 17% in January from 17.3% in December, while Microsoft's share jumped from 10.7 to 11.3, according to ComScore. Of course, I don't give a lot of credit to ComScore, but Yahoo is out today reassuring people they are absolutely still in the search business. They can still be relied on for good queries. I'm going to tell you what I think was the turning point. If we go way, 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 way back to Yahoo in early days, used to be on Yahoo, you could go onto the website. You know, this is back in the days when you had to submit your sites to Yahoo and all the different search engines. They actually had a submission form. There was actually services out there where you would pay to have your site submitted to 200 search engines. Well, we all know that is pretty much moot point at this point. And I'm sure there's some sites out there you still have to submit to, but really the really important one is Google. But Yahoo allowed people to submit sites for the longest time, free. Then they implemented a charge. You had to pay, I think, $250 for a professional review of your submission to the search engine. Now, I have no idea what they do today, but at that very point, is for me anyway, I basically said, forget that. Off I went. And this was about the time Google was really starting to make an impact, and they were starting to, you know, see this huge upward trend in utilization. And I mean, this is going way back. Many of you probably remember that time. But I think from that point, everything that Yahoo, while they were pretty much on top at that point, everything from that point was a downward slope. I'd love to see some graph somewhere that shows a timeline from when they implemented that paid submission to the date, and, you know, where the lines intersect, you know, Google, you know, surpassing them. But, you know, this Yahoo, this slide is continued bad news for Yahoo. And, you know, this 10-year deal they signed with Microsoft earlier, late last year, to power Yahoo search doesn't appear to be making very much progress. I don't know if they've implemented that or if that's still in the development phase, but Yahoo's revenue stream is going to take a hit. All right, Adobe is going to be pushing out another critical Adobe Reader patch. So we all know that Adobe has apologized for not fixing some stuff that was actually going on in Flash. So now they're patching another critical flaw for both Reader and Acrobat Sapphire. So we'll see what happens with this. I think this is tied back to the Flash flaw. But anyway, this should be out shortly. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll let you know. All right, over on Slashdot, there's a report that the FAA has done basically some data analysis of exploding lithium batteries. They say that even though the chances are rare that this would happen in flight, the actual implications is it's small enough risk that they're not going to be making many changes, if any at all, to their policy. Now, I think we've talked about it on this show before that we wondered how long it would be before, you know, basically you go through a security screening and not only have you got to make sure you've got all your bottled water thrown away or drank before you get to the TSA checkpoint, that you've also either chucked your batteries or shipped them ahead. So it appears that there will be some new rules around the shipment and carrying of lithium ion batteries on passenger and cargo aircraft. But it doesn't appear that there is going to be any changes to batteries installed in our laptops. So they say that getting killed in a car accident, by contrast, is 4,300 times more likely than being injured by a lithium battery explosion on an aircraft. So, of course, you know, if you have a lithium battery explode in an aircraft, it's bad enough. The end results could be much more detrimental to one's health than being in a car accident. But I guess they're not going to be making us check or ship our batteries to our next destination. And I've always said if that happens, there'll be a huge business. There'll be a company waiting on the other end to rent you a battery. You know, when I go to Vegas, you know how many batteries I ship? I don't dare bring them all on the airplane because I don't think I'd get through security. First of all, it's like a half a metric ton of batteries. And there's, you know, I would say a good sized box of lithium batteries go with us to Vegas. It's quite literally, that's how many go. And, so FedEx doesn't have a problem taking them. So I'm not too worried about shipping them until they throw a new rule up. All right. Here's a question. And actually here's a, consideration for you. Have you ever noticed that while Dell and while HP and all the major Windows manufacturers have a business division, and many have government divisions. Not only they have a special government salespeople, they have business salespeople, then they have consumer salespeople. Have you ever wondered why Apple only just has one sales division? They don't really have a business division. And I had actually was curious about that too, because I had bought two Macs, the Mac Pro and a MacBook Pro. I had the Apple, the Mac Mini. That's what was my first Mac that I had got. And they were all under a business account. I always went in there and it was registered under, you know, my corporation name, and it was paid with a business credit card. But yet the transaction was very consumerish. Now, when I picked up the last MacBook Pro, when I picked up my wife's Mac, that was on a personal credit card. So really there was no change to that. But when I bought the second MacBook Pro for the business account, that was the first time I was queried from the Apple store people talking, hey, you got a business? I'm like, yeah, I'm just a small business. I don't plan on buying any more computers. It's just me. And, you know, when I go to shows, I take extra computers because we need the processing power to doing video and so forth. And it was the first time I'd actually been kind of queried by one of the folks in the store. Said, hey, if you got any business needs, we'll work with you. But this is according to an article done. Apple apparently still remains lukewarm to any Mac or iPhone success in a business environment. And it appears that this is intentional by Apple, according to this report, that They're doing this specifically to maintain a what they're calling a glass ceiling. And they don't, what they don't want to do is they don't want to have to reduce the price for business users. And they have no intention of changing any of the models. So it's kind of interesting that they don't want to really cater separately to the business community. It's an article over on InfoWorld, so I think you'll get a kick out of this. But it makes you think. I say, yeah, as a business owner, I can go to HP, and if I'm buying, you know, more than 4, 5, 10 machines, I get a great discount. You don't get that discount with Apple. They maintain their high price point, and it is kind of curious. So I don't know if you ever thought about that, but good article by the folks at InfoWorld. Now over on CNET, CNET is reporting that the Obama administration is pushing. Now check this out. Okay, we had a whole bunch of campaign promises that Americans were going to regain their rights to privacy and blah, blah, blah. But apparently the Obama administration is pushing for warrantless tracking of the location of cell phones. You heard that correctly. Warrantless. In other words, they don't need a warrant to track your cell phone. The Justice Department says no warrant is necessary because wireless carriers regularly generate and retain records at issue. And because these records provide only a very general indication of a user's whereabouts at certain times in the past, the requested cell site records do not implicate a Fourth Amendment privacy issue. Well, let me see here. Got my iPhone up and iPhone, and I know there are some apps that can pretty much pinpoint me within, you know, 25, 30 feet of accuracy. And yet the administration wants warrantless tracking of the location of cell phones. That to me tells me that they can spy on us at any time. Where's Todd? Oh, he's over driving on the H3, getting ready to go into the tunnel to go over to the windward side. Now, that's dramatic. But they didn't need a warrant to do that. And I don't know about you. I'm all for the government having rights to serve a warrant to Verizon, to Apple, not to Apple, to AT&T, to T-Mobile. If they come with a warrant and say, we want to be able to track person X, then that has been done by a judge who has given or proven a warrant for a probable cause. But yet this administration wants to do warrantless tracking of the location of cell phones. That just scares the living heck out of me. And I don't know what you guys, how you guys feel about that, but we do have the Fourth Amendment, which does guarantee our privacy. And I don't know. Love to hear you guys' thoughts on this. Did you know this? never mind. I'll be quiet. Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. And I'm going to roll this other computer down so I can see the chat here. Okay. NASA solar probe blast towards rendezvous with sun. NASA launched the United Launch Alliance Atlas rocket to launch a 6,800-pound solar dynamic observatory into a 22,300-mile orbit above Earth. The $808 million spacecraft will ultimately study the sun and send back what NASA called a rush of pictures about sunspots, solar flares, and a variety of other of never-be-seen solar events. And they feel that they're going to be able to get a lot more information on how the sun works and to better forecast space weather to offer early warnings to protect astronauts and satellites. Now, the question is this thing just going to stay at 22,300 miles, or are they going to push it a little closer? But the Solar Dynamic Observatory, I'm sure it'll be going through checkout over the next couple of months. Excited to see what develops with this satellite or observatory. All right, coming next week sometime, there's going to be a simulated cyber attack. It's going to be testing government response. This is a pre-announced, I guess, cyber drill. I heard that they actually are going to stand up the White House ready room or whatever it is where they go into when there's critical things going on in national security. And they're going to be using security analysts are going to be getting a chance to evaluate how the government may respond to a hack on critical infrastructure. This is just a drill. I don't know if they're actually going to carry out any live attacks. But being that they're being very public about this, and they're going to be doing this simulated nationwide cyber attack, you know, I don't know if I'd advertise that, because you know hackers worldwide are going to be like, oh, they're doing a simulated one. They're just going to rub their paws together and they're going to get busy on their computers. And the next thing you know, we're going to have real attacks going on, and they're going to be responding to real events. All right, the video sharing service Veo, VOH.com, is shutting down. They are going to file for bankruptcy. They have let all the staff off. If you are a Veo user, another one bites the dust. So, you know, Veo had great promise, but they ended up in a tangled up lawsuit with Universal Music initially, and it really probably drug them down. But, you know, Veo had abided by all the DMCA issues that Universal Music had. And they had a victory on their hands from the lawsuit because of Safe Harbors Act. So, but Veo has not been able to turn the corner on this, and they're gone. They're gone. So if you've sent videos over there, they're gone. And I hope you have them saved up in a repository somewhere and can prepare to get them back. All right, how many of you have gotten ebooks over the Christmas holidays? How many of you have bought some ebooks? I know that I replaced my Kindle, the one that that I broke, with a second one, and have enjoyed being able to get books on Amazon anywhere from $6.99 to $9.99, and have bought a lot of books that I would have never, ever in my lifetime have purchased if I would have had to have gone to the store and bought a paperback. I've actually bought a lot of books. I've got more books on my Kindle than I'll probably be able to read all year. But at $6.99, $7.99, $9.99 a pop, I've been able to do that. An author that is upset over this ebook sales claims that $9.99 is not a real price for a book. Okay, I remember when I published my book on podcasting in 2005, it was priced at $14.99 was the list priced on Amazon. Within days, or within a month and a half or so, the price went down to $9.99 on ebook on Amazon, and the ebook was made available. And I think people can get the ebook today for $6.99 or $7.99. And I was happy that we were selling, and we sold a lot of books at that price. If that book had been priced initially at $24.99 or $29.99 or $39.99, like many other tech books were at the time, we wouldn't have sold 50,000 copies. But at $9.99 or $14.99, we sold a lot. And, you know, it was one of the biggest selling books that in that specific category that was sold. And so the question is, why is this guy upset at the $9.99 price point? If I have to pay $14.99 or $17.99 for an ebook, I'm not going to pay that much. I'll skip it. So are these authors of these books, are they shooting themselves in the foot by complaining about the pricing? In my opinion, $9.99 is a real price. I'm willing to pay $10 for a book that is new on the street, that hasn't been out there for 5 years, $6.99 for books that are old that I would have never bought, and the guy's making money. I don't make any royalty money off my book 5 years later. I don't. You know, that, you know, probably there's as many returns in a year as there is in sales, and that goes against your, basically your, you know, your payment you get every year. So I don't know. What do you guys think? If you guys have bought books on with your ebook, are you guys just checking them out from a library and putting them on that way, or even buying books? So obviously this guy is thinking that his work is worth more money. But in this day and age, come on, times have changed. And that digital copy, guess what it costs to deliver? Pennies. Pennies, and we're not hurting the environment. All right, over on Tech Dirt, I think you guys will find this is talking a little bit about price points. And this would be a good case study for all of the music industry. Let me bring this up for you, and I'll switch over. We're on Tech Dirt. Online gaming store lowered the price of a game 75%, and they saw sales shoot up 5,500%. That's significant. 5,500% increase in sales on a game by lowering the price 75%. Now, they found as well, on some other case studies, that lowering the price by 50%, they saw an increase of 533%. But it just goes to show that sometimes, if the price is too high, it drives buyers away. And it makes sense. So if it's $100, you guys have all seen this. You all go into a store. You know, this is in Hawaii. When you buy, I'm not wearing one, but when you go to buy Tommy Bahama Hawaiian shirts, they're $100 to $150. They're expensive, but they're beautiful, nice silk. Oh, they're just they're just nice. No one pays $150 or $100 for Tommy Bahama shirts. We all wait for the sales. And when the sale, at least, well, maybe the rich people do, but I wait to the, you know, they all go on sale and they've got that 50 or 75% sales tag and they're $25. Then I'll buy four, right? Instead, you know, it makes sense. The lower the price, the more you're going to buy. We all do this on anything we buy. You know, I'm more inclined if I go into a store and my son says, hey, Dad, that used to be $50. Now it's $12.50. I'm like, get it. Great deal, right? Do we need it? Maybe not, but still. But what would the price point be if it initially came out at $12.50? Would we all buy it when it was new instead of waiting for the sale? I think on new games and that kind of stuff that my kids want, if a brand new game came out and it was $12.50, I would probably pick it up for them. They would share in the purchase of it through their allowance. But at the same time, if it's $50, I'm like, forget it. We'll wait, you know? And I guess people pay, you know, of course, that's their game they play. They get as many suckers as they can to buy it at $50 and then wait for the cheap guys like me to pay $12.50 of it after it's been on the shelf for 6 months. Do you guys wait? Would you buy it initially if it was $12.50, if it was brand new? I think the sales would be much, much higher. Over on Wired Science, and this is kind of a cool article, and I took the time and read this one because I didn't fully understand the science behind it. You ever heard of a mud volcano? Well, apparently, this happened in Indonesia. There was a mud volcano that developed after a drilling company exploring for natural gas removed the drilling shaft, or however they do, you know, this exploration for drilling, and it essentially caused this mud volcano to form. And these man-made disasters from drilling, I guess, are more common than what people have, what I've ever known about. But this mud volcano has, since that time, dumped 100,000 tons of mud, or enough to fill 60 Olympic-sized swimming pools, and it's covered an area of almost 3 miles simply from, you know, mistakenly withdrawing the drill head the incorrect way when they were doing the exploration. Someday they're going to drill through. Instead of mud on the one end, they're going to have, lava. you just always wonder, you drill too deep, what you're going to run into? So this is pretty amazing stuff. It really is. But, just imagine it, drill, drilling, and it's, probably the drill hole's that big and it's force that much mud up through there. Pretty crazy stuff. It really, really is. Anyway, I have the link up to this for you in the show notes. All right, here's the thing I'm really, really excited about. Matter of fact, I don't even want to tell you guys about it, because if I tell you about it, you're going to run over there and sign up for the service too. And I don't want you to do that. But here's how you can help me out, okay? After I tell you about this article, and when you guys go over and sign up for the experiment to be involved in this, I want you to put the area that you live in is Makakilo, Hawaii, okay? Here's why. Google is going to build an ultra-fast consumer broadband network. They're going to be offering up to between 50,000 and 500,000 homes in the United States. They're going to offer up 1 gigabit per second internet service. 1 gigabit per second internet service, which means you could download an HD movie in a couple of minutes. I could stream this show live in HD in probably five different video streaming services at once. So you guys want to help this show grow? If every one of you go on the internet, go over to Google and sign up for this initiative and tell them that you want this service in Makakilo, your geek here at Geek News Central will just about be assuredly guaranteed to have 1 gig access available. Talk about a selfish reason, right? I know that the chance of getting them to come to Hawaii to put in 1 gig fiber is probably a chance that's pretty small, because that means they have to be able to have 1 gig service just for me backhauled all the way back to the lower 48. And of course, if they're going to bring this to my community, they would have to have, 300-400 of us capability to go 1 gigabit back to the mainland. And they probably have to run a new fiber between Honolulu and the mainland to make that happen. This is a pipe dream that will never come true to Hawaii, but it could come to a neighborhood in your area. This is called an initiative. It's an experiment. They could spend up to $1 billion doing this. And it's going to cost between $6,000 and $8,000 to wire up each home that you will not have to pay for. Google will do that. And this is some exciting stuff here. It really, really is. And it's about 1,000 times faster than AT&T's basic DSL service. So if you guys get this in your home, then we're going to have to talk a little deal. You can simulcast the show back out. I'll send you the feed direct, and then you distribute it to all the services for me. But they say it's going to be affordable, and we'll see. Hey, Google, come on, baby. I'll love you every day if you do that. Someone said in the chat, I've already submitted our city to Google Fiber. Damn, you did Makakilo, right? Not your hometown, right? Okay, let me move on here. There's an article that I wanted to talk about, but it didn't load. Let's see if I reload the page, if that actually comes up. It doesn't. Don't you hate that when that happens? The title of it was on Wired, was Holding Blood Vessels, Key to New Cancer Therapy. And something's happened to the article, so I will not be able to review it. The essence of what I saw initially was that they, instead of basically using chemo to kill cancer, cancer growth, they just cut off the blood supply from them. And that's kind of an interesting development. I don't know quite how that, I don't know how I'd feel about having something just dead in my body. Do you still have to go in there and get it out? And that could lead to all kinds of craziness. But halting blood vessels, key to new cancer therapy. We'll see what comes of that. Great. There's also an article on Martian dunes. On Mars, scientists say that the winds over there really don't blow strong enough to form those sand dunes. And the scientists have been trying to figure out how these sand dunes are formed, of how they change. And essentially what they're saying is, once a Martian sand grain hops, in other words, bounces, they don't stop. Okay. So basically, imagine a pool table, and with no pockets. And you basically, you know, you break the balls and they're all bouncing around in this low gravity. And then when they hit one another, they just bounce and they maybe do a little hop and they hit each other and move around and they just continue to do that. This is kind of weird. So basically, one sand particle knocks another one into motion. This to me sounds like hokey pokey science at best. And, but it's very weird. So that would mean that if you walked up to a Martian sand dune, it should be moving or shimmering. If this was really the case. I don't know. What do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline +1-619-342-7365. This next article, I think you guys are going to just shake your head. You know, if you've had a bad day at work and you decide to go visit your local Walmart, for those of you that are on Ustream, let me share this with you. Oh, it's actually going to be playing. It's actually sound. What you're seeing, folks, on the on Ustream is you're seeing some guy taking a baseball bat to 22 television monitors in his local Walmart. I guess this guy, walked in the store, went back to the sports section, grabbed himself an aluminum bat, and he decided that the 29 televisions in the electronics department needed to be destroyed. So he took the bat to him and he destroyed 29 LCD TVs. Of course, he ended up walking out of Walmart in handcuffs and $22,000 in damages. You know, 29 LCDs, $22,000. They must have had a sale that day. Oh, my goodness. So, I would not recommend this unless you want to get a direct ticket to jail. But that was what he did. All right, let's move on here. Remember we talked about the Progress supply ship making its arrival earlier this week to the International Space Station? Well, they've got a video of it, and it's in slow motion. It's pretty cool. I'll have that link up in the show notes. This was over on Gizmodo. And also, of course, the space shuttle has arrived and docked at the International Space Station. They got there Wednesday night. So, I haven't actually checked in and see how they're doing. I'm sure they've done their first couple of spacewalks already. But anyway, they're there. Hey, over on GigaOm, they do a breakdown of this cost on this fiber network. So I would share that with you as well from that article earlier that I talked about. So I'll have that up. Should have had that link down there with the other article. And how many of you have been using Google Maps to visit, different places that you used to live? You know, now they're driving that vehicle all over the country and they're taking pictures of your street that you used to live on or street that you're living on now. And you can do some pretty cool stuff. Matter of fact, I had linked for all of you guys the Google Maps truck drove by my house. And I can essentially take a walking tour around my neighborhood, which is kind of cool. And those of you that listen to the show know where you can find my mailing address. It's on the Geek News Central website. So if you want to take a walking tour around my house, you can do that. And which is kind of odd, really, to have that online. But how many of you have actually visited homes or places you used to live or places you used to visit? Apparently, there is a site called vpike.com. You enter just where the memories are, and it takes you to that specific address. And of course, they're using Google service. I don't know why you just don't use Google Street View yourself, but anyway, everyone's raving on vpike.com as a place to do this visiting places that you used to live or where your memories may be. And it's been kind of fun doing that, driving, using the Street View and going in different areas. And here's a little something that's kind of fun to do. If I'm going to a new city and Street Views are available, What I'll do is I'll punch in the address for the airport, and then I'll actually drive around the airport, get an idea of the lay of the land. I'll take some time and drive out, see which way to go to my exits. It gives me kind of this, like, I'm there before I'm there. And I'll actually put in the street address for maybe the hotel I'm looking at, so I get a perspective of where the hotel is and how it looks, and, you know, just gives me some landmarks. It makes driving in cities that you have never been into a wonderful experience, because the most stressful thing is going to someplace, and obviously you've got your GPS, it's squawking at you, and usually telling you, you know, it's never perfect, but, you know, I hate that thing, turn left 500 feet. You know, if you've already done the street view thing, you have a pretty good idea where you're going. And I haven't tried this yet. Maybe at some point, and some of you are probably going to say this is already available. Wouldn't it be cool to put in a starting address and an ending address and have it just drive you through at whatever speed you want to go at? So it's fun. It really, really is. And it's a great way to scope things out if you want to scope out a business or scope out places to see while you're somewhere on vacation. It's really a very valuable tool that I think is underutilized. And I've just started recently using it a lot more. When I was headed to Chicago this time, basically I knew the address of the hotel, and I did a round robin around all the streets. I knew that there was a Best Buy around the corner. I knew that there was a steak place, kitty corner to where we were at, just from the street view, because I could see the signs of the businesses and so forth. It was really a wonderful thing. And that way, when I got there, it was really no brainer. I didn't have to ask, hey, where can I get whatever I needed. I kind of knew already. So a lot of fun. Now, if you've been over on YouTube watching my HD content over there from CES, or even watching this show, you'll know that speed matters when it comes to watching videos. And sometimes if you don't have a good enough connection, that you'll have some buffering involved. So YouTube has introduced Video Speed Dashboard, and you can go over to youtube.com/my_speed, and it'll kind of rate what your speed is for surfing the internet, kind of track and give you some ideas on what your optimal video viewing performance is over on YouTube. Very smart stuff. I have a link to that in the show notes. Did you hear about Google shutting down a bunch of music blogs? Well, they slammed the door on, I think, up to 8 of them today. Some of them very, very popular music sites, and basically invoking DMCA issues. So if you are a music fan and you've been trying to get to one of your favorite music sites, and it was hosted on a Blogspot or on Blogger, they could be gone. This is why one should always have their own domain from GoDaddy.com and their own hosting service under their own control. It's very important not to allow the Googles and the Yahoos and the whatevers of the world to, you know, make it very easy to shut down your website. Now, if you're doing something illegal, no hosting provider is going to protect you completely, but you do have at least control of your data and backups and so forth, where if you need to go somewhere else and relaunch a site, you can. But this goes to show that it's not smart to have your content in a place where willy-nilly someone can shut you off. All right, that's it for regular content today. Let me look at the time. Oh, we're doing okay. And let me go ahead and bring up the email here so we can get into that. No voicemails in the voicemail inbox tonight. So if you guys got a comment on tonight's show, +1-619-342-7365. Again, I want to congratulate Chad Odell at big_Odie, O-D-I-E, for winning the iPad tonight. Let me go ahead and again, that was a random draw from Randomizer. And let's see here, GNC comments. And we'll get these loaded so that we can go through these. Again, if you have comments, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, got an email from Stefan down in South Africa. He said, hey, Todd, recently started listening to your podcast and an excellent question. How easy/difficult is it to get podcasts going? This is something seriously lacking in South Africa, especially with some techie/geek spice. Internet access in South Africa has become a luxury till recently, with only 5 million out of the 48 million population actually having access. This has, however, started improving with SEACOM cable along the eastern coast of Africa with a design capacity of 1.28 terabytes. Additional terrestrial fibers across the continent could add 1,280 gigs per second. I've tried subscribing to your podcast on iTunes, but it appears the Apple iStore serving South Africa does not allow me to. Maybe they're waiting for the additional bandwidth. Speaking about Apple, they're only releasing iPad around the end of March in South Africa. Now, note on your comment on flash capability on the iPad is not being able to play YouTube movies. Not sure if this has been revised, but from the iPad demo I've seen on the Apple website, they have a YouTube application for this purpose. Just a thought. Well, actually, what they've done is YouTube has converted stuff into HTML5, so I don't think you're going to have a problem watching YouTube videos on the iPad. He goes on to say, I wish we already had all the gadgets and gizmos you talk about on your show available in South Africa, but alas, we usually get it way later. Well, hope you have a great day and enjoy your show tremendously. Start downloading older podcasts to catch up, Stefan. Stefan, to get started on podcasts, really, it's very simple. Get yourself a very inexpensive headset with a closed ear muff with a mic. Maybe a Logitech gaming headset. That seems to work out very well. That way you don't get feedback. You can actually hear yourself talking when you're recording your show. There's lots of readily available free software out there like Audacity. I personally use Adobe Audition to record my show. That is a commercial product that you would have to pay for. Hosting, hey, very simple. Go over to, pick out a domain name, pick up a WordPress blog, install PowerPress, the WordPress plugin by my company Blueberry on it. And really what we allow you to do is do integrated podcasting. If you have a WordPress blog, PowerPress, and a hosting account with us, really publishing a podcast is easy as 1, 2, 3. You just open up your web blog. You write your blog post. You've recorded your audio and created the MP3 file already. There's a little button on there that basically says upload. You click the upload button, select your file. It uploads to our CDN service. As soon as it's done uploading, you just hit publish on the WordPress blog and you're a podcaster. Now, there are a few extra steps. You need to set PowerPress up and add your descriptions and all that stuff. But really, from the time you've set up a WordPress blog, installed PowerPress, you can probably very easily, very, very easily, minus the recording, be ready to go in an hour. Should not take you any longer than that. We got help videos over at help.blueberry.com if you want some help with setting up PowerPress. It's really not difficult. Anyone can do this. Think about what you're going to create. Think about your game plan of how you're going to do the show over a period of months and years. And, put some thought into it before you get started, because that's the hardest part. Most people fade about show number 7. They don't make it past episode 7. So I definitely want you to make it past episode 7 to do that. So do your homework on what you're going to be talking about and the topics about your show and your agenda and so forth. Good luck and let me know how it goes, okay? And again, podcastfaq.com has some great information as well. I got an email from Bree. Of course, Bree has been stuck in her home because of the blizzard out east, and she's got an article for me, how to work from home during a blizzard and an electrical outage. And an electrical outage, Bree? How did you do that? Anyway, there's a good article up at gcn.com. I'll have that for you. Got an email from Terrence. Hey, Todd, knowing how close you follow the space program, I thought you would appreciate this. And this is the top 10 space race spinoffs. And this indeed was a very good article. Thanks for that, Terrence. I definitely appreciate it. Got an email from Toby. Hey, Todd, another possible listener link for you. America's Cup Sailing Race starts this week. And this cool video about all the technology used on board the BMW Oracle boat. Many other videos also available on their YouTube page or the official site of the BMW Oracle Racing. I used to race sailboats back in Texas, and I love the technology that goes into these ocean rockets. Cheers. Toby in Denver, and I'll have this link up to the YouTube videos for those of you that are into sailing and want to see. Actually, just looking at the technology they're using is pretty cool. Of course, Bree sent me another email. And the title of this is "Why Global Warming Makes Weather More Intense." And Bree, don't take this the wrong way. Global warming, winter, massive snowstorms. That's kind of like almost, does that go hand in hand? Anyway, she's got the link for me here in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Got an email from DT. He says, his name's Danny. He says, hey, Todd. And actually, Danny's in the UK. I have a suggestion for listeners who was looking for an alternative to iTunes as a podcatcher. I too was stuck on Juice and getting it to work on Vista and now Windows 7. Finally, I found an alternative called GPodder. It was primarily made to run on Linux, but there's a binary for Windows. The only problem I had with it was the plugins didn't work in Windows, but everything else was fine. GPodder can be found at gpodder.org. Okay. Got an email here from Marvin. I already sent you that. I got an email from JP, and he sent me to a link on a video podcast that I'm just going to put the link in, and I think you guys will get a kick out of it. And it's a mistake any rookie can make doing live shows, but just the ramifications of what he did by just one click of the mouse during a live show, I think in the word that was said right about the time that he clicked the button, I think you guys will get a kick out of it. I'll have that linked up for you. You can check out. Bo, hey, thanks for your donation. I appreciate your monthly donation. That's it. That's all we've covered. I've got everything here. Hey, we're an hour and 10 minutes. We're early. We're wrapped up. Everyone, thanks for hanging out with me today. And a little rocky start today at the beginning because things are just different. And hopefully about a month from now, we'll get everything dialed in. I promise not to bore the audio audience with all the gory details of the studio. But it is just a little bit different of a look. And, of course, we've got the TriCaster. I mean, not the TriCaster. The Ohanasaurus back here. And a little better view, I think. So after I wrap up today, I'm going to have the Ohanasaurus open. It might be good to test if anybody wants to call in GNC Pod 1 or GNC Pod 2 on Skype. They can do so after I shut down the show. But a little different view. You can see it a little better. I'll be kind of having to turn to see it. But overall, I think the new layout's going to work fine. The only issue I'm going to have is with this camera here only has limited view. I'm going to have to change that up somehow. And this camera here is now on a tripod right over there. And that's actually to the right of me, those of you on audio, because where it was in the corner now, there's actually a bookcase there. So I got to find a new home, a new position for these point-tilt zoom cameras that I have in here. But the audio should be fine, and that's what counts. That's what's important. Of course, that's how you subscribe to the show and get the audio portion. That's really what keeps the bills paid. You guys downloading, using the products from the sponsors and doing those trials, it really, really helps. And again, congratulations to our iPad winner, and be getting that ordered. I think we can pre-order that now on Apple. If I can, we'll order it as soon as we can, so they get the address information. But I'll be back with you for an early afternoon show on Monday before I fly out for Dallas. It's been my pleasure to bring you the Geek News Central podcast as usual. Everyone take care. This was show number 551. We'll see you on show number 552. Everyone take care and aloha.